Hello, my lovelies, and welcome to Mentors Coaching FM. Now, if you are watching rather than listening to our episode today, you may have already noticed that there's something a little bit different about it. If you're listening, I'm going to let you in on the secret. Not only am I not alone today, I actually have three fantastic guests with me because we're going to have a panel talk show today. We're actually going to discuss a subject as a group, and I have brought together an absolute dream team for those of you who are solo coaches, entrepreneurs, trying to figure out what you should be tracking and what you need to do and what you need to measure to move the needle. And so I have with me today, I have Kat Valentine. Now, Kat trains coaches and helps them set up the businesses. And so we're going to have a little bit of a chat with Kat first about what Kat does and what her biggest KPIs are, and you know, what are the things to track as a new coach. So we're going to have a little bit of a chat about that. And then we've got Hensley Ellifritz with us, who actually runs a pseudo franchise for health coaches that helps coaches with marketing. And so once Kat's got you sorted and you know what you're doing, then Hensley gonna help you with the marketing. So you can see that we, you know, there's a nice progression there. And you know, once we've had a chat with Hensley, we've also got Nikki Ballou with us, who helps coaches improve the results and add a zero to your income while working less. And so there's a really lovely progression through what each of you do. And so first of all, I'd like to start with you, Kat. So if you would just give us a brief introduction to who you are, what you do, and then we'll have a chat about your KPIs and what your biggest tips are for coaches.
Thanks so much, Gail. So yes, I'm Kat Valentine from Catalyst Hub for Coaches. And for years, I have trained people to be inner work coaches, transformation coaches, NLP practitioners. And that has been fabulous. And then I've had all these beautiful people who are passionate and fired up, wanting to have successful businesses and not knowing where to start. So I created the Hub to bring people together so that rather than me just coaching them one-on-one, we could create a community and almost start at ground zero and get the ball rolling and overcome all their, you know, those fears and imposter syndrome and overwhelm, so that we can have this wave, I guess, of love and light heading out. Yeah.
Excellent. And so when you have a new coach, or once you've got somebody who's actually starting to coach, you know, we're not right back at the very beginning. When you've got somebody who's coaching, what are the things that you would suggest an early coach wants to track and measure to make sure that they set out on the right foot and stay that way?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's one that they ask as well. I generally tend to set things into three categories. One is sphere of influence, the other is financial, and then the third is product. So it doesn't really matter where people are. So for sphere of influence, that could be your social media numbers, it could be reach on posts, it could be number of articles you've written, workshops you're running, podcasts, whatever it is that, and for them to look at that and start there. It may be, you know, the number of clients you have. For some people, getting that first client is probably one of the biggest hurdles they'll ever face. So that's really important to just go, okay, this is where you're at. What is it there that you want? And then financial, I think for all of us that have started a solo business, is that as the money starts coming in, you keep spending it on expenses. And at some stage, you have to start going, no, I'm going to stop spending it on subscriptions or, you know, a new laptop or whatever it is, and start paying myself. And the sooner the better. So again, looking at that and getting some markers in around that. What is it that you really need? And what is it that you just want? And a lot of the shiny and fluffy stuff you don't need, right? So it's that. And then the third one is product. I mean, to start with, you need a program. But then from there, it's like, you know, always be thinking and developing something, whether it's an ebook, a short course, you know, video content, again, whatever that is. So that's the three areas where I get people to consider markers.
Awesome. And now you're obviously a little bit further along in your business. And so what I'd like to ask, if you don't mind sharing with us, is what are your personal KPIs? What are the things that you track and measure for yourself?
It's very similar. I guess for me, I mean, when I look at sphere of influence, for me, it is the number of people I have in the program, the number of speaking events, like, that I get, the number of workshops I'm running, the number of calls I'm getting, and so I guess with that, that's all around the marketing as well, and how effective that is, and keeping on top of that for me. The three areas hasn't changed. What has changed, I guess, is the level at which I'm looking at those. Financial now, I am, full disclosure, I do need to keep a check on expenses, because I do like shiny objects, right? And so I have to go, do I really need that? No, I really don't. And I do love to, I have a tendency to want to invest as much as I can back in the business, especially, you know, with Catalyst happening now, so that it can grow. So I still have to watch that and go, I want to pay myself more. And with product, right now what I'm working on is, so the Catalyst program's happening, but what I'm working on now is putting together modules that have both client manuals and coaching manuals. So there'll be like a relationship module or financial blocks modules or things, so that a lot of coaches come out with these skills and not a lot of structure. So that's what I'm working on at the moment.
Awesome. I'm going to move along to Hensley for a moment now, if that's okay, Kat. And so Hensley, you're working with coaches who are already established, and you're helping them specifically with the marketing. But I know you there's probably some overlap. I suspect you help with other aspects, because, you know, and clients very rarely come to you with a problem in a vacuum. I understand that. So if you'd like to just, you know, introduce again who you are, what you do, and how you help coaches specifically for on this aspect of choosing and tracking KPIs.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you a little bit of background, because I think it sheds light as to why we do what we do. My background is in scaling specifically fitness franchises, and paring down sales in a way that feels organic and doable to anyone, regardless of whether they have been doing sales their entire life or it is their first time trying to overcome an objection. And so our goal is, in lamest terms, to increase profitability and expedite that timeline. And a lot of times what that boils down to is building a marketing funnel. So awareness to lead generation, to client conversion, to client retention. So increasing your client's lifetime, or how long that person is staying with you and how much money they are spending with you, and at what frequency. So our focal points are recurring revenue for you, so that you're not having to depend on running a special or selling another package of calls or whatever it might be. And instead, there's just a consistent revenue revenue flow for you. And then building out that model that automatically nurtures the lead, call, text, email, social media wise, so that by the time they're in front of you, they're closing more consistently and they are prepared for the price point that you're going to put in front of them.
Excellent. And so what are the KPIs that you would recommend your clients actually track and trace? What are the things that you point them towards?
Yeah, I think for so many coaches and entrepreneurs, we can get caught up in the awareness, the social media, the things that seem very visible to us. But we flip that on its head. So we start with what's the nucleus of your business? It's the number of clients that you have consistently coming in, right? So that's your most important KPI. Is that's hopefully correlative to how much revenue you're getting, right? Because you know your average client is bringing in X amount of revenue. From there, what's the trial offer or the lead conversion tool that's getting that person that's potentially interested in working with you to become a client? So whether it's an assessment or a business audit or an exploratory call, how many of those are you conducting on a monthly basis? Typically, that's free, right? So that you can get them in front of you. What's that show rate? So are people just booking these calls and not showing up, meaning they don't necessarily find value, they haven't had a relationship with you yet, or are they showing up all of the time? And then from there, the next layer would be the number of leads. So the number of people that are raising their hands and saying, hey, I'd be interested in hearing more about what you do. And again, the goal of that is to push them into an assessment. So we start with the nucleus there and then grow upwards versus, great, you got this many followers, you got this many likes. Did that get you $30,000 in revenue like you wanted, or was it just great engagement on social? So again, I think I'm guilty of it too. We all are. It's the shiny object, to steal Kat's term. But starting with number of clients, as simple as it sounds.
And so again, you're further along in the business, and I'm going to ask you the same as with Kat. And again, if you don't want to share, that's cool. But what are the things that you personally track and trace? What are your primary indicators for your business?
Those exact things. And I think that's why we can coach clients on it as well as we can, is because I can speak from personal experience. We work with a lot of entrepreneurs with brick and mortars who are pushing memberships or clients. And it's the exact same thing. How many members do you want on a regular basis? And how many people need to be walking in for the first time? So if you're in a service-based industry, which we are as coaches, we've found that sales funnel to be relevant regardless of what particular facet of the industry you're in.
Excellent. Now, I'm just going to bring Nikki into the conversation now as well. So Nikki, I'm going to run through the same things. If you'd like to, you know, give us that little bit of an introduction to who you are, what you do and how you do it. And then we're talking about the KPIs that you point people towards.
Sure, absolutely. So I typically work with coaches and consultants, folks who've been in business for at least 3 years. Our sweet spot is working with folks who are under $250,000 a year in revenue, although we've worked with people up to $1 million. And what we're really able to help them do is add that zero to two zeros to their monthly and annual income. And the vision that we have for folks is there's a lot of good people that are out there. They're good at what they do, the thing that they do inside coaching, they rock at it. But like Hensley was saying, they just don't get business. They just don't get it. These are good people without a business background. I come from an entrepreneurial family. My father owned several businesses. I got, you know, degrees in business from top level universities, including a master's degree. So I get business, and I just could see that these people were suffering at this. And this is good people, and they would not go after business. They should be going after A, because they were scared of selling. They were worried about, you know, coming across as pushy and salesy and reeking of commission breath. So they wouldn't go after the business. And then some charlatan marketer would come in and scoop up that business, and they didn't care if they helped that person. And so that good person wouldn't get the business. That good client would have somebody take their money and not deliver for them. and the sum total of goodness in the world came down. So I saw this first and foremost. It was about helping good people get their hearts, you know, aligned with their heads so that they could actually go out there and focus on being of service rather than selling. Nobody wants to be sold, but everybody wants to be served. So we help them rewire their brains into serving, not selling. Because to me, sales is an act of love. It's an act of deep caring. And then we help folks really position themselves, you know, but in a substantive way, not in just a surface way, as a thought leader, as an authority in their space, you know. We're not into selling sizzle. We're into selling steak. Because when people bite into sizzle, all they do is they burn their mouths, right? But when you bite into a juicy Texan steak, you know what I'm saying? You just get the good stuff coming in, and it all really works out super, super well. So for people to become thought leaders, we have a process where we take them through having a deep dive into themselves and their history and what they've learned. It's not what you've done, but it's all the things that you've gone through in life. We take all that. We go through this process. We help them take that and really look at what that's been all about. And then we use that to help them develop something we call folders of expertise. And those folders of expertise include a whole bunch of IP, and that IP could be in a particular area for them. So let's say someone's been a business coach, which is very generic and broad, but their life experience has had them go through a ton of adversity. They've, you know, moved places, they've lost people close to them. And there's somebody who knows how to transform and transcend adversity. Well, then their folder of expertise could be about transformation. My folder of expertise right now, the main one, is about high performance and winning, because, you know, I've had a lot of that be what I've gone through in my life. So when we help people figure that out, then they can use that to develop offerings to the marketplace based on their heart, based on who they care about, who they want to make a difference for. And we help them do that. And this is for people who've been in business. This is not for brand newbies, right? Because you can go after the same people in business, or you can decide to go after a new group of people once you've taken a deep dive into yourself. Well, in our experience, when people have gone through this, they've been able to take their business to a whole new level. So, you know, we've worked with over 200 people over the last several years, and we've helped over 80 of them add between $100K and $2.5 million a year to their income, which is absolutely fantastic. And of the remaining 120, well, most of them have added at least 50, 60K to their income, but we really want to move more and more people into that 6 to 7 figure stage. And we think that's what's super important in helping coaches win, man.
Okay. And so what are the performance indicators that you point people towards tracking? What are the things that you think move the needle for your clients most?
Well, we have them develop something called, IP snapshot sheets. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So we have them do that. So one thing we want people to do is to do at least one of those a week. So over the course of the year, they've built that kind of like depth in their expertise. So we show them how to do that. We want you to do one a week minimum. So you got 52 of those done in a year. So that's one. Number two is we want people to keep track of the number of approaches they make to prospects. Like, I'm not really into social media likes and dislikes and all that jazz. I want to know, how many people have you approached about having a business meeting with you to potentially lead to sales? That's the number one thing I have people track, is because those approaches lead to meetings. Those meetings lead to opportunities, lead to sales conversations that lead to requests to do business, that lead to conversions. So that is kind of like the key performance indicator, is we start with approaches and we flow that through all the way into the number of clients that they sign up. That's been very, very effective for the folks who follow through on it.
Excellent. And for the same question as for the other two, in your own personal business, what are your indicators that you track and trace?
Well, number one is my approaches, right? How many people that I approach and I talk to, and from that is how many of those result in what I call success coaching calls, which are like discovery calls, and then how many of those convert into clients. And one of the ways in which I do my approaches, because, you know, I believe it's something that works right now, is through podcasting. I have my own podcasts, and I'm a guest on podcasts. Since I've been on Podmatch in June of last year, we've been able to generate over $300,000 in revenue just from being a guest on other people's shows. And, you know, we want to show people how they can do that, because a lot of people are doing things that worked pre-pandemic, pre-lockdown. They don't necessarily work right now. Podcasting is something that works right now. Podcast guesting is something that works right now. If you know how to do it, most people that go on shows or have shows don't make money from it, but we've been able to crack the code on that. And that's one of the things we do for ourselves and we teach our clients.
Excellent. Now, you may have noticed I asked all three of you the same question. You know, what are the things that you tell your clients to track and trace, and what are the things that you track and trace? And I'm really glad that this works, because all three of you basically said that you track and trace the same things that you're telling your clients to do. It may be on a slightly different level, and there may be a slight few different tweaks, but you're all doing what you're telling your clients to do. And that was something that I was really hoping. I mean, it's a bit of a gamble, but I was really hoping we were going to get that result, that you are all still tracking the same things. And one thing I particularly like, Nikki, where you point out, is that some of the things that you track, if you track the results end, you only see the following results. Whereas if you actually track the activity that goes in, so, you know, you track the approaches, you track how much work you've done, and then you can then see how that produces, and you can change, because that means you're tracking something that you're actually in control of. And so does that make sense to everybody, that, you know, you all track something that you can actually change what you do and change that number, rather than tracking something that is just, you know, it's just a number. And that, I think that's one of the big problems of tracking likes and subscribes and things like that, is that you have no control over those. And so what I'd like to move on to is to talk about, I mean, we've talked about the KPIs, the potential KPIs that people might want to track based on where they are. And so I'd just like to open the room. So this is not aimed at anyone in particular. So if you want to answer the question, you know, just go ahead. But if somebody's not sure what is going to be the best activity or the best KPI to track, what would you say to them to help them decide for themselves which is, if you say, because you can't track three dozen things, you can't track a dozen things even, you only want one, two, three. How would you help somebody decide for themselves which are the things that they're really going to focus on right now?
The biggest thing, I guess, that all of us are talking about, you need to get clients, right? That's the biggest. You need bums on seats. And so like Nikki's great when he says it's about conversations. And I love, you know, it's a doing thing, that nobody can come to me or to Hensley or to Nikki and go, you know, on a wish and just hope that somehow I get all the knowledge and somehow magically, just with knowledge, I have a successful business. So the first thing, and as I am talking to really new coaches, right? The first thing they have to do, the first thing I ask them to do, is to go out and tell people what they do. Tell people they know what they do. You know, start talking about your business and what you do, and then start having conversations with the people around you. Because in my experience, most coaching starts with warm leads from people either directly within your circuit, like your circle, or just a couple removed. And so, yeah, it's get out there and talk. How many conversations are you having a week? That'd be the first thing I'd ask people to do that are new coaches.
Anybody else, anything that they want to add on that?
I think Kat nailed it. I think we're all, as entrepreneurs, guilty of kind of being barracudas and chasing different KPIs and not understanding which to prioritize first. And so we prioritize the same as we recommend to our clients, which is, if you're looking at your sales funnel, number of leads to number of, let's say, discovery calls to number of clients, if you are only converting your calls, your discovery calls to clients at 10%, and you're like, I'm just going to get more leads and push more calls. Well, if you're only converting one out of every 10 people, you're losing people through the cracks, right? Because you're not focusing on increasing that conversion rate first. So we always recommend focusing on the bottom of your sales funnel first and getting that as wide as possible, and then kind of moving up the ladder. And unfortunately, what that means is focusing on things like social media and lead generation tactics last, but it's because having those one-on-one conversations, that's what's going to actually get you the client to sign, right? And Kat kind of alluded to this, but as I was getting my business up and off of the ground, and I'm sure, you know, many of you who are listening have found the same, it's offering your initial service or an abbreviated version of it for free. I hate to say it, but you need that initial traction and initial momentum, because word of mouth and testimonials and advocacy of what you do is the difference between what you do and what the people that are, you know, selling snake oil as a fellow quote business coach are. So I think having a steady lead of referrals, we haven't had to pay for any marketing, knock on wood, quite yet, but it's because we've always focused on that client experience and really grown organically that way. But start that from the jump, because to Kat's point, you just need a few initial warm leads that turn into other warm leads that turned into other warm leads, versus that's a lot more fun than reaching out to someone blindly on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, which we all have to do that too, but start with your nucleus.
Excellent.
Here's the thing. If I'm speaking to my clients, I give them a more blunt set of advice than I would just speaking to the general marketplace. So speaking of the general marketplace is, yeah, go out there and talk to people who can be your customers. That should be what you focus on first, last, always. And everything else really is a distant second, right? If you're not getting out there and having sales conversations with people, you're not in business. You have a hobby. You are living in la-la land. You're doing something, but you're not running a business, right? So it's most important to do that. And if I'm talking to my clients, and, you know, they need to be doing things like building their IP. They need to be doing things like making sure they're going on podcasts and so forth. But all of that needs to be tailored toward getting somebody that they could be of service to be interested in finding out how they could be of service to them. And if your focus on a daily basis is, God, please send me a human being who's hurting, who needs me, and give me the humility and the courage to be able to stand in the fire with them and take the heat and be of service to them, you're going to have a successful business. And if you're in business because what you want to do is you want to tell everybody how great your program is and how amazing your methodology is and why there's nothing in the world like it, people's eyes are going to glaze over. They don't care. They really couldn't care less how great your program is, how amazing your methodology is. They're in front of you because they have a problem. It's acute. And they're looking to have someone they can trust help them solve it. And they're in front of you because they're hoping against hope that you're not going to be another one of those charlatan marketers who's going to sell them something and deliver them nothing. They want to believe. And it's your job to help them believe, to give them the love, the caring, the heart. You got to combine the passion of, you know, a Navy SEAL with the love of a Jesus Christ. And that's how you need to approach your clients.
I love, to that point, one of the most beautiful experiences I had with my community was listening to them all talk about why they got into coaching and the people they wanted to help. And it was to that point, Nikki, it is that, you know, the best coaches are people who've walked the walk, who've gone through the fires of hell, who've come out the other side and have a story to share. And they're also unique, which is why with this big community, no one's in competition because everyone's got something to offer, you know, people who've gone through hell. Yeah, it's quite an extraordinary thing to see people who have gone, oh, I was in hell and now I'm functioning again, and that's what how I want to serve. Most of the people, it's exactly that. It's not about the money, and often that's the problem, that it's not about the money. It's about wanting to change people's lives and getting them to understand that they have to have the money talk, because otherwise they're just going to be sitting around their kitchen table helping their neighbors. If they want to really create influence, they have to speak, they have to make friends with asking for money, having that energy exchange. Yeah. And so right back in those early stages, that's a big hurdle to overcome. So many people go, I don't feel right asking people for money, for me helping them. It's like, oh, you have to. There has to be that energy exchange. Otherwise, you're just rescuing people, and that's about your ego. If you're in a fair exchange and an equal exchange, then there is an energy exchange and you need to ask for money. That's it. Yeah. And then you get to help more people. So, yeah. So the people that I'm dealing with, then Nikki, they'll need you in 2 or 3 years' time when they're comfortable with, yes, I am a coach and I have this business and I'm out there and I'm transforming lives, and now I need to do more.
Excellent. Right, now I'd like to move on. Now we've talked about, and I think we've got a real good understanding now that some of the best KPIs to, some of the best things to track and measure, how many conversations you're starting, how many of those are actually converting into sales conversations, how many of those are turning into clients. Great KPIs to measure. And so now we get to the, but how, you know, the practical how. So what are some of your best tools, tricks, tips, the things, even sometimes the motivation to actually get those numbers up if they're quite low? So I'd just like to open the floor again and say we're looking at the practical aspect of actually getting those KPIs, the physical tracking of them, and then the improvement of them.
There's 10 channels, if you will, that I've identified that people can use to go after business, right? So one is your own network, your own warm market of people, right? So that's something that you can easily look at and track, right? Secondly is requesting referrals. You know, referrals are another great way to get out and get people into your space. You know, third is to build an online sales funnel. Hensley, you were talking about that, right? Building a nice online sales funnel. There's a bunch of different ways to do that these days. My God, I'm losing track, but that's a way that can work really, really well. Fourth is through a book. You know, a thing or two about that. A book. Use a book and have the book be your door opener to get you into places, right? Another great way is through stages, getting on stages, being virtual stages or being in-person stages. Another one is through having your own podcast or being a guest on a podcast. Those are some incredible ways in order to get business going for you. Strategic partnerships, finding who else does business with the people that you want to do business with but isn't a direct competitor to you. That's a wonderful way to do business and get going with folks. If you identify some of these, and these are some of the things we teach our clients, right? It's just identify these are the ways you can go and meet people and get potential clients into your space. Then you can determine which one of these ways is going to work best for you. And you can start running with it, right? Doubling down, tripling down. For me, what's worked really great for me is podcasts, podcast guesting, stages to a lesser extent, my own network, referrals, strategic partnerships. Those are the ones that I've kind of doubled down on, and books. But when I go speak to somebody, I'll say, look at these. Which one are you using? How well is it working? Which one should you be using that you think could really work well for you? And then run with that. But before you go do that, you got to have a powerful message that helps solve a real problem for people. You can't just go there and say, hey, this is me. This is what I do. This is how great I am. What you've got to talk about is you've got to talk about how what you do is relevant to others. How what you do helps people. You know, one of my mentors said to me, people don't buy their way into something. They buy their way out of something. People don't buy their way into something. They buy their way out of something. They're not buying their way into your program. They're buying their way out of the hell that they're in. You always got to remember that.
I think, so coming from a franchise model, my specialty is really, it is scaling, right? And what can be replicated, what can be delegated, what can be outsourced to A, keep you at the helm of your business and doing what you love instead of doing what you have to do to grow the business, which is of course a necessary evil. But I always say, you know, if it takes 2 hours to train someone to do it, then perhaps that's something that you can delegate long-term. And so as you look at each of those KPIs, let's say it is, you've identified the hole is I need more of those discovery calls. So I'm going to reach out to X number of people. Here's the checklist, right? I'm going to reach out on LinkedIn. I'm going to say X about their profile. Here's going to be the message. And here's going to be the booking link. I can now tell Gail, I'm going to have you do 100 of these. Then we're going to circle back at the end and see how many of those converted. That takes me out of the exercise, but it's a way of alleviating that KPI instead of just having Gail focus on, you know, driving leads or something a bit more abstract. I think another weakness as coaches is taking any business as we can. And as much as it sucks to say, the riches are in the niches. And the more specific you can be in exactly who you serve and the problem that you solve, the richer those referrals are going to be. Because as Nikki said at the very beginning, you know, you specialize on transformation or you specialize on scaling businesses specifically within fitness and wellness, they're going to trust you versus someone who generically helps other business coaches. So I think having those case studies or examples where you say, I've identified someone who seems to have a very similar situation to you. Here was their problem. Here's how we solved it. That's a lot easier, quote, pitch than here's what we do. Does that sound good or not? Right. So I would say those are my two tips from that angle.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And just thinking through that, I mean, and that's where one of the harder things, and I look at coaches starting out, is getting their pitch or this, you know, the story. And so often they overcomplicate it, where it's just your story. What did you do? How'd you do it? And where are you now? Like that, you know, that's it. And then, you know, what can you offer? And getting out. And I, you know, I had someone say to me once that ultimately in your business, you want to only be doing the things that only you can do. And everything else, you either outsource or you have other people doing it. And to start with, that's not easy, but yes. And I always get my clients to look at the things as they're starting to grow their business and go, okay, what are the things you love and you're good at? What are the things you're good at and you don't love? What are the things that you love and you're not good at? And what are the things that you don't love and you're not good at? And guess which quadrant you're going to work at first in outsourcing, right? So that you can focus on what you love and what you're good at, you know? And just to ultimately build a business where you're doing the things you love, that you do well, that produce income. Again, don't do the shiny and fluffy. And I really love getting into Canva and making my Instagram tiles. Is that actually the best use of your time? You know, if you could get a virtual assistant to do that, you know, and then rating how expensive your time is as well. Yeah.
I think that brings us quite nicely into the next sort of topic of conversation, and the next area to focus on is that KPIs are all well and good, and tracking things is all well and good. But what are the limitations of having KPIs? What are the things that having a KPI isn't going to help you with? And you just touched on a really good one there that I to kick us off, Kat, is that whole the hiding in busy work and hiding in the stuff that we enjoy and telling ourselves that we're working. And so from my point of view, the time a KPI lets you down is, for me, is when you track the wrong thing to begin with. But what are some of the other things that might, you know, you can rely on a tool that's not going to work in the long run, and why?
Yeah, I think for me, well, a KPI, I mean, it's in the word, okay, it's an indicator. It's an indicator that you're moving towards your goal. And I think sometimes you have to stop, because every time you take a step forward, you have a different perspective. And sometimes after a couple of steps forward, you realize that that's not actually the goal you want. You thought that was the client you wanted to go after, but in fact, having worked with a couple of people like that, you realize that it's over here. So if that's the KPI is really important, because that's where you go, okay, is this still the goal that I'm after? And if it's not, the great thing about a KPI is you can go, phew, I'm glad I just stopped and paused here. Okay, you know. And if they're not, if you're never hitting your KPIs, then you have to ask yourself, is that a realistic goal? Is this worth tracking? Is this, what am I doing here? If this is crucial, what is it? What is the block in me that I need to work on so that I can achieve a KPI? You know, rather than just going, oh God, I didn't do it again. I didn't do it again. I didn't. And then just getting really, that doesn't help anyone.
I think it feels almost like ironic for me to say this, but giving yourself space to be creative and breathe. And I think so often we are knee deep in the KPIs and we're looking for numbers to show us trends to make a decision. And part of why all of us got to where we got to was because we have a really strong gut intuition that tells us, hey, here's probably what's going to happen in the future. Here's what I really love. And I'm going to lean into that despite what the data is telling me. I mean, I walked away from an incredibly lucrative career. This didn't make sense at all. And I think many listening to this can probably say the same. So giving yourself space to nurture that piece of your persona, even if it's not, you know, necessarily increasing the number of clients right away or increasing the number of discovery calls, because in that you might come up with an idea that long-term does impact those KPIs way more influentially than it would have had you just been in there grinding without thinking about it.
Yeah, I really like what you just said, Hensley. You know, Robin Sharma, who is a legendary author, he wrote The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. He was a client of mine back when I used to be in the fitness field. I used to be a fitness coach myself. And he taught me something called a $1 million weekend, where he once a year will go rent the penthouse of a hotel or just a spectacular Airbnb for 3 days for a weekend. He goes by himself. He gets someone to come visit him every day and give him a massage to get him relaxed, shuts off his phone, and then he gets to work and lets the creativity flow through him. So he comes up with a $1 million idea to make him $1 million. And man, I just love the concept of that. It's so powerful. And I think that it's important to get out there and hustle and get business. And it's also important to leave room for ruminants and ruminations. And to think and to read and to meditate and to allow God to send you his best ideas.
Absolutely, Nikki. I mean, ultimately it comes through us.
Yeah.
If we let it, you know, and that's the thing. I mean, a lot of people are starting their own business because they really didn't like that corporate push, 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 and they wanted a different lifestyle. And then they can find themselves trapped on this hamster wheel again of their own creating this time. And yes, absolutely. Remember the balance. Remember why you did it. Remember what's important. And that's where I think sometimes KPIs have to be about lifestyle as well. That you have to, there, it's the work-life balance. You know, there, my life doesn't look like this. You know, there are times when work is pushed right up here and I'm doing a lot of that. And then there is times when I take time off. That's the gift. I give myself time freedom. That's what this gives me. I get to say when I do that. And I think that's a big part of why people do this in the first place, is to find some balance. I just read, just before we came on this morning, Richard Branson was talking about entrepreneurs and doing it your way. And he said, you know, I did when I started, worked on my houseboat with the two young kids. And if people thought that wasn't great, well, then they probably weren't my people. You know, and he's done okay. You know, he's done okay.
Yeah.
So I guess it's about, a lot of it is putting your own stamp on how you want your business to look as well and how you want to work.
Yeah, and being able to say, I want to achieve these KPIs for what, right? I think I am guilty, or was guilty, of kind of putting the cart before the horse and kind of a typical millennial of scale and grow for the sake of scaling and growing. And I was becoming further and further away from the reason that I became my own boss in the first place. And so that Richard Branson quote resonates with me, but it's really taking inventory of, why are you doing what you're doing? And is each of these things that you're tracking ultimately connected to like that soul mission and that soul purpose? Because it doesn't need to be a multi-million dollar business if you don't want it to be. And I frankly don't, right? Because then I don't get to do what I love to do. I've learned that the hard way. So I think taking KPIs, they're indicators, but they're not, you know, the end all be all for a reason, especially in what we do.
Excellent. So just before we wrap up, I'd like you all to just start again. We'll start with Kat and then Hensley and then Nikki. Just give listeners or viewers, which whether they're watching on YouTube or listening on a podcast service, just give them a way to connect with you to continue the conversation, and your top tip, your biggest takeaway from today.
Okay, so contact me at catvalentine, catvalentine.com.au. You can grab me through there. I am on all the socials as well, LinkedIn and Instagram, catvalentine_catalyst on Insta. The thing is, the biggest thing is remember why. Why you started this in the first place. That's the biggest thing. And then start setting, yes, it is a business and you need to be successful. And if you can add more zeros, you know, and work less, that's brilliant. Remember why. Nearly everyone I work with started because it comes from their heart and it comes from deep within, and it is a passion and purpose thing. So stay focused on that.
Thanks a lot, Kat. Hensley?
Kat kind of stole mine, but I have a second best one. So if you want to get in touch with me/us, my company is Reboot. So REBOOT, F like Frank, C like Candy, rebootfc.com. And there's links there where you can just click and schedule a chat. I would love to connect with you. And I think we walk away from podcasts or conventions or, you know, inspirational talks, and we're like, wow, that was so great. And then we go on with the rest of our day and none of it actually becomes actionable and tangible. So if you're listening to this, my takeaway for you is, over tomorrow or sometime this week, allocate an hour in the day where you're going to turn off your phone and put distractions aside and really look at those KPIs. And even if you don't know where to start, I think we've all universally said it's the number of assessments or the number of discovery calls. Start there. And if you're not even really sure where to identify or how to identify those, you have three coaches on the phone who are happy to help you. And I'm one of them. So yeah, that's what I got.
Thanks, Ainsley.
Okay. So my biggest tip for you is remember there's somebody out there who's broken and hurting that needs you. Nobody else, you. They need your special sauce. They need your love, your caring, your concern, your compassion, and your ability to help them turn things around. And if you get up in the morning and you ask God to bring that person in front of you, then it's your job and your duty to help that person. And like Kat said earlier, charge them and don't undercharge. When you undercharge, when you don't get what you should get, you won't give what you should give. I'll say that again. When you don't get what you should get, you won't give what you should give. Super, super important that the energy exchange is right. And if you undercharge, you don't have leverage on the client. The client's actually not going to get the result that they were wanting to get and hoping to get. There's something called expectancy bias. The less you pay for something, the less you expect from it. So if you're like wanting to get a really big result in your life, you expect to pay a big amount of money. That's what everybody feels. So you better understand that if you're getting big results for people, you better charge appropriately. And if you don't know how to charge appropriately, call me, Nikki B. I'm your man. I'll help you charge. You know, go to eastcircleacademy.com/appointment and I'll show you how you can get what you're worth. Because if you don't do that, the sum total of goodness in the world is going to go down. Your family is not going to get what it deserves, the best of you. And you got to be a warrior for your family each and every single day.
Awesome. Thank you so much. So we, between Kat Valentine, Hensley Ellifritz, Nikki Ballou, we've absolutely heard from the dream team. You really are, guys. I'm so happy that you joined me today. It's been a fantastic call. We'll get all of your details into the show notes so that people can connect and continue the conversation with you. So all that remains is to say thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Good to meet you guys, too.
Good to meet you all.
Great to meet you all. Thank you so much.